In the name of the living God, who is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Back in the days when nearly everyone came to church and most people made their own Christmas pudding, today was known in the Anglican tradition as Stir Up Sunday. The opening words of the Book of Common Prayer Collect for the Sunday next before Advent were, "Stir up, we beseech thee, O Lord, the wills of thy faithful people, that they plenteously bring forth the fruit of good works, may of the be plenteously rewarded." And that was the cue to give the pudding a good stir. The preparations had begun, and today our preparations for Advent begin, and Advent in turn is a time of preparation for Christmas. In our first reading, Jeremiah says, "The days are coming. The days of Advent are coming." In modern times, the ritual for Advent has developed. In most homes, especially those with children, there will be the daily ceremonial of opening the appropriate window on the Advent calendar. But these are not solely focused on children. Having become a very keen sewist in recent years, I was surprised to see an Advent calendar being sold full of sewing-related items. And my gosh, was it expensive. And yes, I did resist. Originally, I suppose, most such calendars had at least a sense of Christian flavour. Now the flavour appears to be anything. But the idea remains the same. You are counting down the days to Christmas. And then, of course, there are the candles on the Advent ring. The first of those will be lit next Sunday. And this is rather a counting up, more than a counting down. In a way, their intention is the same as with the Advent calendar, to arouse anticipation. But partly, no doubt, because it is done in church, there is more to it than that. It is a matter not only of arousing anticipation, but also heightening our awareness. There is the symbolism of light itself and the various themes of Advent. So the days are coming. The Advent days are an exciting and significant time. The important thing is that though so much of what is done in Advent has special appeal for children, their impact should not be lost on those of us who are older. It can be all too easy for them simply to become part of what is done. The days that are coming are days to savour, days to use, days for penitence, and days for spiritual growth, and we should not fail to make good use of them. Today is a day to stop and to take stock before we enter Advent, and our reading from St. Paul's letter to the Colossians offers us encouragement and wisdom as it proclaims a profound truth that in Christ the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him all things on earth and in heaven are reconciled to God. That letter begins with an exquisite blessing which identifies the source of the Christian power, namely Christ. We are not strong in ourselves, but only as children of God. The hymn's Christology then unfolds in three parts, describing him as the one who participates in creation, holds all things together, and reconciles all things in heaven and on earth through his death on the cross. It is a letter that is filled with blessings and testimony and the early church doctrine and a refutation of the Gnostic heresies. Paul is writing to a congregation that he has not met in person and is seeking to set straight the heart of the Christian message to a community of mostly Gentile people. Then, we are offered a beautiful weaving of testimony and doctrine. We hear an echo of Jesus' declaration in the Gospel of John, "If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do not know him and have seen him." In this passage, Paul asserts that Christ is the one who makes the invisible God visible, and then goes on to amplify further the lordship of Christ. We then are offered a clarifying nugget of wisdom. Christ is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. Christ is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. Have you ever wondered how many church disagreements, mission statements, or personal dilemmas might be resolved by simply asking the question, does this allow Christ to have first place? Does this allow Christ to have first place? This is a fabulous invitation to take stock of our personal lives and our common life, to see what else might have edged into first place, and to ask God to reorder our lives to suit God's holy purpose. The energy and passion in this particular piece of writing fits well with the notable celebration of the reign of Christ for this Sunday in the church calendar. But that's not all. In our gospel reading, we see very clearly that it is only through Christ we find belonging, acceptance, and love. Perhaps one of the most profound demonstrations of divine love is Christ's mercy on the cross, a love so deep that even in his agony, he pleaded for forgiveness on behalf of those who condemned him and reassured the thief beside him in his final moments. And as his followers today, we are called to be imitators of Christ and to be his light and his hope in this world. The crowd that mocked and condemned Jesus could not fully grasp the gravity of their actions. In much the same way, if we are not careful, we too can fail to recognize the true impact of our words and our deeds until God, in his mercy, reveals them to us. Our blind spots, whether born of ignorance, of pride, or of fear, can actually prevent us from seeing clearly. That is why we must continually examine our hearts, laying them before God with humility and seeking the wisdom and discernment of the Holy Spirit as we do so. On this feast of Christ the King, as we prepare for the season of Advent, our gospel reading reminds us of the enormity of what God has given to us through the promised Christ child who died for us on the cross. St. Paul reminds us of the bigger picture and the greater narrative. May we be encouraged by Paul's words. And as the prophet Jeremiah said, "The days are coming, Indeed, they are. Amen.